Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Raiders Talk Podcast. I'm Scott Baer. That's my co-host, Josh Rock. Back in the kitchen, back in the lab, we'll call it, which is really just any place quiet in our houses. It's rare these days. And we always have a question to start out the podcast, and today's question focuses on the biggest question marks, right? And the biggest, what we think, is a major question mark heading into the 2020 season, is what the Raiders are going to do at the cornerback spot. Now, we've talked about the draft pick, Damon Arnette. We've talked about Amik Robertson. We've talked about a lot of guys that they're bringing back, right? Yep. Now we have Prince Amukamara adding a new piece to this position group. How will his presence change things? We're going to break all that down. We're going to make some more bold predictions like we like to do about who starts at the outside cornerback spot opposite Trayvon Mullen and their levels of depth and things like that. So Josh, let's just get right down to it here. The Raiders officially signed Prince Amukamara, something that we've known for a while has been in the works, not quite official. Now everything is done. They got the physical taken care of, something that Eli Apple couldn't do in a positive way to lock down $6 million. And ultimately, what do you think of that signing in the context of everything else that the Raiders have at the cornerback spot?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. We talked about it, I think, on the last podcast. We expected at some point they would add a veteran corner. And I think 2 hours later, they added a veteran corner. So
yeah,
a little sooner than we probably anticipated. But I think it's a smart move. It's the right move. They got a lot of options opposite Trayvon Mullen, but a lot of unproven options, a lot of young options. And I think bringing in a guy like Amukamara is he's just a good guy to have, at least to start the season opposite Mullen.
Yeah, and the Raiders were reportedly looking into some other veteran options. They were just trying to give themselves a bit more security there. That's what free agency is ultimately for, including somebody who worked with DC Paul Gunther for a long time, Dre Kirkpatrick. Now, we don't know the financing of how it all broke down, but Dre's still on the market. Prince is not. Would you have maybe rather them paid a bit more to go get Dre, considering his knowledge of this scheme? Or do you think that the talents are equal enough that if it's cheaper and you don't have to cut a major player off the roster, we're doing some higher level math now. But how do you view those options with everything that kind of goes into it, getting paid, having to cut somebody, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think talent-wise, they're probably similar. I think the only issue I have with the decision is, like, the speed at which they decided to lock up Prince Amukamara. Like, I felt like there's a long time between now and whenever the Raiders are actually going to meet, so they could have just waited out Dre Kirkpatrick and see if his number came down, because I think having someone who knows the system would have been beneficial, at least especially with the offseason being what it's going to be. But talent-wise, I think they're pretty even, so I probably wouldn't have paid the extra bucks, whatever it was, to go up and get a guy who's similarly talented.
And this is a guy that's been, while he's kind of bounced around the league a little bit, this will be his fourth team, he's been a pretty consistent starter. He's got 99 starts in 113 games. I'm reading some of this stuff now. He had 10 pass breakups last year, no picks. And generally speaking, he allowed 36 receptions on, I believe, 67 targets. He has a career 89.6 passer rating against him. Those aren't bad numbers. And he has a 43 career pass breakups. So this is a guy with the experience that we've been talking about, right? And he's another former first round pick. There's a larger collection of them. That's what Eli Apple ultimately was. He didn't end up here again because of physical issues, issues with his physical, let's be real specific. But yeah, like bringing that veteran in, now they have a veteran in Nevin Lawson, but it's generally a younger group with Damon Arnett and Isaiah Johnson, Trayvon Mullen on the other side. I think that veteran depth could help, and this guy could still play. I think he's definitely going to be a factor as we kind of all see how this cornerback competition kind of moves along. Do you think that the addition takes pressure off of Damon Arnett? How do you look at this new signing in relation to the number 19 overall draft pick this year, the kid out of Ohio State?
Yeah, I think so. I think I look at it kind of how it was with Trayvon Mullen last year, right? I remember we came into training camp on day one and Mike Mayock just out of the blue was like, yeah, we expect Trayvon to compete for a starting job. And you and I were like, that's kind of weird. They have Terrell Werlinger and Conley, so I'm not sure,
right.
Not sure what he's talking about. And, you know, a week in, we were like, okay, the kid's talented. And 7 weeks later, it was like, okay, it's his time. So I think not that they're going to, you know, jettison Prince Mukamara for 7 weeks like they did Garon Conley, but I think just a way to let Damon Arnett get his feet wet, learn the system, learn the NFL game without just being like, all right, hey, you got to play or else we're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. And I think given the circumstances that you were alluding to earlier about a shorter off season while they're doing these Zoom meetings and they're learning, less time to work with the other members of the secondary or the defense, get the communication down. I think all that stuff is good. This guy's been around the block enough to be able to fit right in. That said, first bold prediction that we'll have, is Damon Arnett still the front runner to be the starting cornerback week one? Maybe not in week 17, but week one. I love putting you on the spot. It's so much fun.
I'm going to say no. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think they need just how young the secondary is overall, other than LaMarcus Joyner. I mean, Mullen, Abram, Demaryius Randall's only been in the league, what, 4 years, I think, mm-hmm. 3-4 years. So that's a really young group. I think they need a veteran leadership there initially.
Does your bold prediction change by week 9 or week 17? Do you think that Arnett could come in and take over? I would at least say that that's a possibility, even if it's not a guarantee. I just think he's a talented guy, competitive guy. And just like they did with Trayvon, right? It was about midseason. Let him get his feet wet and then let that talent kind of show. Yeah. So I think that we could have different front runners at different points of the year. But I think it's – I just think it's smart. Prince was really known as a good locker room guy in Chicago, checked in with some of the Bears folks on that. And in terms of their beat writers, and they all seem to really like him, you know, and John Gruden likes veterans, especially when you're going into a new market, a new opportunity and all these things. It just generally speaking seems like a smart move. Now the next category is dark horse candidates. That may not mean to start, but to make a big impact on the year. Are there any cornerbacks that you think could be dark horse contenders to really kind of step up and play?
Yeah, we've talked about it a couple of times. I think Amik Robertson, just don't count him out, right? I mean, he's an underrated guy. He's got really good ball skills. He's physical. We've seen clips of him bullying bigger receivers off the line. I expect him to come in and really compete and push Arnett and Mukamara, really anyone. I wouldn't be surprised if – I mean, I'd be a little surprised, I guess, but it wouldn't be that big of a shock if we enter week one and John Gruden's like, all right, we're going to give Amik a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's possible, and you just hear so much about – how, you know, people that watch a bunch of tape, they love what they see despite being a smaller guy and from a smaller school. I'm going to take Isaiah Johnson just for the sake of argument that this guy is built like a Raiders cornerback. He's long, he's tough. He's still learning the position, but this is a guy who kind of makes no secret of the fact on social media that he's motivated. He's a competitor. And despite the fact that he doesn't have very much experience at the position, he made a transition from wide out to cornerback as an upperclassman at the University of Houston. So there's a lot to learn, but I think there's also a lot of talent there. I mean, sometimes John Gruden likes to be real positive with his praise, maybe go a bit too far, right? But you go back to this time last year, he was calling what he thought Isaiah Johnson could be the steal of the draft. Now that could just be motivating words to build up your guy. But they clearly like him, and he really redshirted his first year. He had that facial fracture, and he got back around midseason, but never really got into the flow. When you're a rookie and you lose that time, it is so hard to get back in it. So I'm going to take Johnson just for the sake of argument, but I kind of like your pick. Now, all that we're kind of talking about is on one side of the cornerback, you know, on one sideline. The other one, Trayvon Mullen, really seemed to establish himself. You've made no secret of the fact that you think he's a legitimate pro. Yeah. How does he take the next step, right? We spend so much time just sort of saying, oh, he's going to be good, right? And he was good at times, but how do you think that he can be better?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, just getting the last nine starts is going to be that's really huge. I mean, we saw him make a lot of rookie mistakes, right? I mean, a lot of penalties, some grabbing, some holding. I think just learning, you know, when you can put your hands where you can put them, when you can kind of impede the route a little bit without getting flagged, when you can turn your head a little bit, that kind of stuff. You just have to learn in the NFL game. And he talked to me about that a little bit after Emmanuel Sanders roasted him in week one. He was like, hey, it's tough. And, you know, he learned right away that it's a completely different game. The speed's different. And I thought he really played well the last 3-4 weeks. I thought he was really good. I think he had one of the top passer ratings in the NFL in week 13, week 12. So it's just technique. It's experience. But I do expect him to take another leap.
Yeah, I mean, both of us have talked to him at different points during last season. And you just think that he has the right attitude. Like, he's cocky without being like super arrogant, like about it. He's able to kind of see his own flaws, kind of like what he was saying to you, kind of with the confidence that, hey, I belong here. So I think that that's good. We saw him working out with Ocho Cinco this offseason. That guy's a pretty good route runner. I don't care how old he is. So right. I think those types of experiences, those ways to kind of think outside the box, say what you will about Antonio Brown, but their close relationship, if they talk football, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
So I think we both expect him to make those types of strides. Now, LaMarcus Joyner, right? He's been a good slot cornerback in this league. I think everybody looks at him and his time as kind of like a deeper safety with the Rams, and they say, well, he was really good then and maybe earned his contract with that. The Raiders have been so against moving him out of the slot corner spot. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before, maybe, and this is us speculating, but maybe it hurt them trying to get Chris Harris through the door, that they've kind of made their decision there. Now, LaMarcus has a lot of money due to him guaranteed this year, less next year. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he can be able to rebound? Again, he wasn't terrible, right? He just may not have been as good as people want it. I mean, I guess I'm looking at the numbers now. They're not terribly flattering. Only 3 passes defense last year, 49 tackles, 3 tackles for losses. He can be, aggressive. He was a team captain, has a lot of respect from a lot of different guys. What's your stance? What's your take on that? You think 1 year placeholder, maybe longer? Does he have something to prove? Where do you stand on this Joyner situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think I view it this year as kind of like a prove it that you should stay on the team past this year kind of play. I think last year it really wasn't good. I mean, we're not going to kill him. He wasn't like horrid, but it just wasn't, he didn't live up to the contract he got with that kind of play. They needed a lot more of him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I know he doesn't really want to play deep safety, but I think it might've gone a long ways, at least last year, for him to transition to safety in the second half of the season, just because they didn't have anyone back there. Mm-hmm. Like, they had no one. They were trotting out. I mean, I remember when they lost, to the Jaguars, and Gruden was like, yeah, that Dallin Levin injury really hurt us. And we were like, man, that's wild.
It's like, that is wild stuff.
We like Dallin Levin, but I mean, it would have been nice for, I think, LaMarcus to maybe just selflessly make that transition. But this year, I think, as a slot corner, like, we know he's talented, but they need him to play a lot better. And I think if he doesn't, I don't see him being in there in 2021.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his over the cap numbers right now. They definitely accelerate a little bit. Just when you look at it, the full guarantee of his 2019 salary is essentially locked in. But next year he has an $8 million roster bonus due. There's a couple big cap numbers, $11.2 million in 2021, $11.3 million in 2022. And it gets a lot cheaper. It goes, obviously, it was virtually impossible to, if they wanted to move on from him, $11.3 million in dead money next year, $2.5 million, followed by $1.25 million. Again, this is all according to overthecap.com. So when you look at that, and you look at how they have been drafting cornerbacks, right? It does seem less likely, because not only do you have to prove it, like, hey, have a better season, show some improvement. You also have to understand that that valuation is pretty high. So you have to like live up to that valuation, or sometimes they just look younger in ways to spend money in different ways.
You have to play at an $11.3 million level.
Right.
When they just brought in Amik Robertson, who, you know, has the same skill set.
Yeah. So I think that that's kind of how you have to look at it. And again, we're not saying what's going to happen, just trying to kind of give an objective kind of rundown of where they are, where their future may lie, and what their options are. And then they keep drafting cornerbacks. They have a lot of them.
When it comes to protecting your business, Bay Alarm brings the best. Like being on duty 24/7, 365, no matter what. Putting burglars out of business, just like they've been doing for over 70 years. It's one more way Bay Alarm puts the pro in protection. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Go to bayalarm.com/NBC Sports for a special offer to all new business customers. Now, more than ever, Bay Alarm. ACO2ATCL880138.
So now, as we kind of move forward here, I asked you about the Arnett versus Amukamara, in terms of the starting spots. When you look at that cornerback core, do you think it's going to be Prince and Trayvon and LaMarcus? Is that how you would kind of order that to start the year and maybe throughout the entire year?
Yeah, I think week one, that'll be what they go with. And I think as Damon Arnett gets his feet wet, understands the NFL game, gets up to speed, I could see him taking over week seven, week eight. But I think initially it'll be Mullen, Prince, and Joyner.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see Damon Arnett practice and get involved. Let's rewind to the NFL draft talk before the NFL draft, right? We were both geeked on that dude. Like, we thought he was a good scheme fit, and I'm really interested to see him getting in the mix and how he's going to play and how he's going to adapt.
He's such a tough competitor. I can only imagine all the talk of reaches and other people starting is only going to motivate him, just because that's the type of player he is.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, Raiders fans should be, fired up about it. And again, just like Mike Mayock said, it doesn't matter about anybody else's board. And now that they've got him in, you coach him up. Yep. He's a great scheme fit, and you see how it all kind of plays out. I do think they've done a good job addressing that position group with quality, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's time for the younger players to prove themselves when they have the opportunity. Now, we've been talking about bigger question marks, right? And how it's all going to kind of fit together. And maybe this isn't just on cornerbacks, but when you look at the Raiders' pass defense as a whole, and that includes every level, do you think this position group is a liability? Or do you think that they can grow into being a functional part of what should be, no matter what, just because of all the adds that they've made, a better pass defense as a whole?
Well, first of all, I expect them to be better because they were 31st in DVOA in pass defense last year.
Yeah, that's not that good. You texted me that stat and I about fell out of the chair.
It's very bad. And they added a ton of talent, right? They got Abram back, Randall, Amukamara, Arnett, Littleton will help in the pass defense also. Mm-hmm. So I expect them, it's still a question mark to me, but I expect them to be better than last year and probably a lot better. I expect them, that number to go from 31 to, I don't know, 19, 20, 18. They should be serviceable in my mind.
Right.
As long as, as long as LaMarcus Joyner plays well and Amukamara or Arnett can lock down the other side of the field.
But at least they have options. I mean, this isn't our first year covering the Raiders, right? And I've been around the team since 2013. And you go back to sometimes where it's like, okay, like they got Mike Jenkins and Tracy Porter and that's it, right? Or, that it was thin. And I think that the depth and the commitment to making it better, even if, Conley obviously didn't work out, but if some of these draft picks can work out, they can shore up a position group that's really been in constant transition over recent seasons. And it's one of these premium positions now, right? Yeah. It's something that the best guys get paid a ton of money. They know because they were in the Byron Jones sweepstakes.
Right.
And if you can develop these guys and get them good early, and then you can ride that rookie contract for 3, 4, 5 years, you know, however long once the guy becomes a starter, I definitely think that it could be better. I also think, as we kind of wrap this thing up, the more we talk about these different talent upgrades, right? It goes back to Paul Gunther did not have the horses, especially 2 years back. Right. And last year you saw the pass rush go up a tick, and like I thought you were realistic, right? Yeah. You can't take him from 30th to 10th, right? that this is still going to be a slower progression as they grow together and grow up as a young cornerback core. But again, back to what we were talking about earlier, you get these veterans in there to let them develop. You put less pressure on these guys. And I think that that's how a young position group can really thrive, as opposed to you're a first round pick, you're starter week one, go. And if it doesn't work out, then all the bad press comes, and you know what I mean? And the guy didn't have a fair shake. I think the way they've done it, even if, to your point, I might've waited out Kirkpatrick a little bit. Right. We don't know the ins and outs of how that negotiation worked, but yeah. I think that they're better for adding Amu Kamara. I think they're better overall.
And I mean, the depth, I think you made a good point with the depth they've added is so important, because we saw last year, especially at safety. I mean, Abram goes down week one, mm-hmm. kind of treading water. And then Carl Joseph went down in week 9, and it was like, all right, well, now we can't defend the deep pass. Like, right. Eric Harris and Jeff Heath are really good backup safeties. Those are good depth pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't really want them starting. So I think just the way that they've kind of shored up the depth is really important, and I think should go a long way.
I mean, it may not be perfect. Not everything works out. Their free agency track record is not great. It's okay. Not great.
Decent.
It might Sorry. Be a little bit of a compliment, over compliment, but nonetheless, I like the way that they're building the roster with these types of things in mind. So I think that that's kind of the moral of our story. It is a question mark, because we just don't know who's going to start on one side. We can write a lot of starters in ink. I think your theory of let the vet start, and if he earns it for 17 weeks, cool.
Right.
If not, then you have given the other guy a chance to really catch up. So I think all those things are good. Don't sleep on Robertson. No. Don't sleep on Johnson. Don't sleep on the Raiders Talk podcast.
Right.
We're coming back next Friday with another good podcast. I'm pretty excited about it. Josh, thank you so much for the time. Go read NBCSportsBayArea.com for all the latest stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com.